Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you're in charge of the world and, the whole universe. And we thank you, Father, that you've given all authority in heaven and earth to your Son, Yeshua. And we thank you that through him and what he's done for us and our faith in him, he has given authority to us. And I ask you, Father, to bless everyone. Everyone that's listening, I ask that you would strengthen each one, encourage each one, and speak to each one, Father, about what you have for them in this time. And speak to each of us about what we have for others in this time, Father. I just ask you to bring blessing out of calamity, and that your truth would reign, and that your word would go forth, and that you would help us to grab hold of every opportunity that you supply to us at this time. And I ask you, Father, for your help right now in just sharing a few things according to your will, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Amen. It's actually weird not being able to hear anything from anybody. I can't Ta-da. Even. That helped. Yeah, I talked to somebody on the phone the other day. They said, Brave New World, huh? Wasn't a believer. And I've gotten a couple of questions from people who, the ones I'm thinking of are quite distant, so it's none of you, but whether I thought the end of the world was coming quickly. I don't think we're that close. But whether we are or not, what's happening, I guess, is a reminder that that we should know who we are, who we belong to, and what our hope is in. And so it's certainly a time to just take an inventory. So I was thinking about what the effects of COVID-19 have been. So far, obviously, there have been a great many. But an extra national day of prayer is one of them. And we had our first cyber meeting that day with a number of you to pray. Anyway, I just have a few notes about the effects. And one is, it's a demonstration of just how much of an illusion it is to believe in the strength of mankind and the power of nations to control circumstances in the world. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah.
So, and the development of more ways to reach out using technology, maybe even using technology to lessen the negative effects of technology, remains to be seen, perhaps. Israel and Palestinians are coming together to deal with COVID-19. That's kind of a big deal. I just got a message that I could speak more softly. You can hear me all right? If you can hear me okay.
Yeah.
I've always wondered whether this adjustment changes the microphone sensitivity or not. Probably not.
I don't know. I find you pretty soothing.
And I hear you very clearly.
Yeah, okay. You're good.
Okay. And then the next thing I have is, which isn't new, but sometimes it is new, is an invitation from the Lord to taste and see that he is good. A chance to take inventory and see where our hope and trust are. Have they wandered? Have they gotten misplaced? A chance to take a love and fear inventory and allow love to take fear out with the trash. What do you think of that?
Sounds good.
A chance to focus on why we are here and for how long, and to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Show of hands, how many of you know how long you're here for? How many of you don't know how long you're here for? How many of you are no less sure how long you will be here right now than you were before this whole thing started? Yeah, so it hasn't really changed the certainty about certain things that much, though it seems to have raised the uncertainty about all kinds of things a great deal. How much does it matter? Well, it matters a lot in a number of ways. Matters in three ways, somebody is saying. I'm not sure. By the way, to everyone, but no, I'll leave that for later. So I'm trying to arrange my thoughts. We have an extra, it's the last of the special Torah portion before Pesach today, and I'm not sure whether it's what Jerusha referred to, but it's talking about Pesach. And each house is to have a lamb and slain before Pesach, and the blood put on the doorposts. And the Exodus 12, 1 through 20 talks about that whole thing. And as Pesach approaches, and that's why that reading is in the schedule for today. And right now, we're 19 days away from Pesach, I believe. And it's looking like it will be quite a different Pesach than anyone that any of us remember. In some ways, perhaps strangely enough, more like the original one than anyone any of us have ever lived through. You know what I mean? Whether we have lamb or not, numbers of us gather together, and then as a congregation we gather together for the Passover Seder. It's looking quite likely that that will not happen this year. But in the first Pesach, the families gathered as families, and it was all of Israel together, but at least to some degree, not together, if I'm making sense. So we may not get to observe Pesach in the same way that we have every other year, but it's just a reminder that the blood of our Pesach lamb has already been applied to our lives, and by that blood, we've been saved, and no matter what comes, you know, death passed over all of Israel on that day when all the firstborn of Egypt died, and the power of that blood is the Son of God, and that blood has been applied to us, whatever comes. Death has already passed over us. I'm looking you right in the eyes, you can tell, right? Death has passed over us. We don't know how long we're here. We never did. Whether we're here for a long time or a few days. And you know, COVID-19 is not the thing that determines how long we're going to be here. So we don't need to be afraid of that. We should be trusting in the Lord. And so let's see. I'm going to read you a passage from Hebrews 12, I think. Maybe I'll change my mind. So at the end of this week's Torah portion, I'm looking at the wrong page. I'm trying to make sure you have a sense of normalcy. I didn't want to get too well organized all of a sudden and shake everybody up. You know, there's enough going on already. So at the end of this week's Torah portion, Moses places the testimony into the ark. It says this in the 40th chapter. Now, in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. Moses erected the tabernacle and laid its sockets and set up its boards and inserted its bars and erected its pillars. He spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it. This is after all of the hearts of Israel have been moved to bring so much stuff for the making of the sanctuary and produce spun yarn and just so many things. They brought so much that they had to be restrained from bringing any more. And they went to work and they made all this stuff. The people together produced what became the tent of meeting. And they had done it just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So he's setting it up. Then he took the testimony and put it into the ark and attached the poles to the ark and put the mercy seat on top of the ark. He brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up a veil for the screen and screened off the ark of the testimony just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And all the rest gets set up. Thus, Thus Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, wherever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up. For throughout all their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle day by day, and there was fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. So I don't know, it seems like we're in a kind of a wilderness now. Does that make sense to you? I'm thinking maybe, you know, maybe we live our life in the wilderness. Abraham's described as one who is looking for a city that has foundations that are in God, not one here, a lasting city, not the kind that we have here. And in a sense, I mean, the Mishkan now is gone. We can't even speak in great detail about most of it. But it was always the Lord's intention to create a temple out of not just hearts that were moved to bring a contribution, but hearts that were moved to contribute themselves, right? Living stones is what they're called in the scriptures. And the Lord is making this tabernacle. And here we are. Even if we're not together, and I'm not only talking about us, I'm talking about the body of Messiah worldwide, fitted together, and the temple of the Lord, a dwelling place for the Lord, and the Lord dwells with us. And this is the most unshakable thing. This is the unshakable thing. He made us to be eternal. He's loved us with everlasting love. He bought us with the blood of his Son. He raised us up with his Son in his Son's resurrection. And he's empowered us with his Spirit that was poured out, because though the disciples would have kept him there forever with him in their midst, it was better if he went, because then the Comforter would come. And we have that Comforter now, and we don't need to be afraid. And it's time to remember what we're here for. Ironically, you know, what are we here for, by the way? Does anyone want to tell me?
To glorify God and enjoy him forever?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, to love God and worship him forever.
To be Yeshua's hands and feet and body.
And to make believers.
It's interesting how all of that fit together. It's like I'm watching a tabernacle being constructed with the donations from each one there. Everybody's right. If you start with the reason that you exist in the first place is to know God and enjoy him forever, which that's, I think, the way the Westminster Confession puts it, whether you're a fan of Westminster or not, that part seems pretty good. I think it's also a Jewish thought, really, that that's the purpose of mankind. So, yes, to, let's see, and I wish I could remember each thing each one said, but this is from Matthew 28, quite a familiar passage to everyone. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Yeshua had designated, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful. Isn't that encouraging?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it should be. Because I've noticed most people seem to have a tendency to notice their own imperfections and even undersell their own level of faith sometimes. So, yes, and some doubted, some were doubtful. And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So even if the end of the age were coming this month or next week or by August, Yeshua is with us now, then, and forever. So I'd like to know who has any need to worry. A show of hands, please. Nobody. You know, there's a strange manifestation happening. Olga, who is really become the hero of many, just vanishes like as though she's being beamed out of the picture, and then she just reappears. And I don't know if this is a sign that we're supposed to make note of, or if it's just some strange thing about the background picture.
I've been thinking that it's her hologram.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to distract all you with what distracted me, but it is kind of not so unusual.
No, I just needed to plug in the iPad because it was dying. So I moved from the kitchen to the living room.
No, like when you turn your head, half of you disappears for a little bit. So it must have something to do with the way things are being done. So at any rate, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, Governor Cuomo yesterday, I think, said words matter. I'll just admit to all of you that I liked him better yesterday than I've ever liked him. You can figure that out later if you want.
Yes.
But words matter. So I am with you always. How much of the time is that, everybody?
All the time.
Always.
All of the time. So Yeshua is always with you. If you're with Yeshua, and you are, and he's always with you. So always covers everything, even to the end of the age. So I was just thinking about this. We're to go and make disciples, you know, preach the gospel, tell the good news. And does anybody feel right now more like preaching the gospel than you have for a while?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, I don't mean give a sermon. Preaching isn't, you know, giving a sermon. It's not standing up behind a podium. It's ironic in a way that right now, in a number of ways, it'd be harder to actually just go witness to somebody than usual, right? Like, I was walking along Lapla Road, and there were some people sitting out in the yard, and I was quite a ways from them, and they said, "Don't get any closer." They were joking, actually. But they didn't actually want me to get real close. But I was quite a ways away. So I had a conversation with them from probably a good 40 feet. And I don't think I would have had that conversation if the circumstances were not what they were right now, because they were sitting out in the yard in three chairs a long ways away from each other, all three of them. Because at least one of them insisted that they all be that far apart. And anyway, so, you know, I had a conversation with them. It wasn't like a big earth-shaking conversation, but I don't know, maybe we'll get chances to speak to people about the hope that's in us through open windows and houses if we're going for a walk. Maybe they'll shout something and we can shout back what they need. Or maybe it'll be like this. Maybe we'll have Zoom meetings with people. Maybe Rowan and Sylvie will have Zoom meetings with a bunch of students from Bard and tell them the truth, and they'll all, you know, come to the Lord. I don't know exactly what all will happen or could happen or how it could all happen, but there must be opportunity in this time, even if there is in some ways what seems like a lack of opportunity. There will be opportunity provided to us, particularly if we ask the Lord for opportunity to tell the truth, to tell people why we aren't scared, or to tell them, you know, I've been scared too, but this is what calmed me. And I'm tempted to fear, but I know I don't have to, and this is why. You know, we don't have to be superhuman to get through to people. We actually need to be quite human, but to let the truth of the Lord and the power of the Spirit move through us. So, let me. Get my bearings here. So I'm just going to go on to read you a passage from Hebrews chapter 12, starting with the 18th verse. "For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to darkness, and gloom, and whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken of them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Yeshua, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the heaven, but also not only the earth, but also the heavens. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So, I'm wondering, I don't think that right now is the shaking of all of earth and heaven in the sense that it's being spoken of here. But it surely looks like things are being shaken up all over, doesn't it? Once again, how many of you have been shaken up? Any shaking at all? You know, I read an article from the Wall Street Journal, I believe it was yesterday, and as I read about the situation in New York City hospitals and the challenge that medical workers are under and the likelihood of it increasing, getting more difficult, and then also heard that my niece's heart surgery had been canceled indefinitely because of what's happening. I haven't been feeling a lot of like personal fear over this. It certainly is a thought, you know, that you could catch something that could be really bad. You could catch it and maybe it wouldn't be bad. It's not easy to tell in each individual just exactly how this thing acts. But it really hit me yesterday when I was reading the things that I was able to read about the hospitals and the workers and shortages of things and the hours people are working and the conditions that they're working under and scrambling to try to produce more ICU rooms in buildings that don't have them. Just the magnitude of what's happening and also the uncertainty of just exactly how it will unfold in the near coming days. It really just struck me in terms of just my feeling for all the people that are being affected, all the lives that are being shaken, and just the great need that there is, not just for practical solutions to problems, but for the solution to the human problem, which is, in a word, Yeshua. And and that word we've been given to speak, the ministry of reconciliation through Yeshua. So it's a time of dire need and challenge, and it's a time of opportunity, and it's a time to take stock of things in our own lives and ascertain perhaps which ones of them can be shaken and which ones we put confidence in of any kind at all that can be shaken. Confidence that we should only place in the Lord. It's sometimes easier to tell how much you're trusting when it's harder to tell sometimes how much you're really trusting in the Lord when there's no particular challenge coming at you, at least other than what's just normal for each of us, right? When all of a sudden you have, for instance, the opportunity to think, oh, maybe I won't be able to get groceries. Or, oh, maybe I'll catch something. Or, oh, what's going to happen? Or what if this stops or that stops? Or I can't do this or I can't do that? Or what if I can't go to work? What if... How are we going to provide for ourselves? You know, ever notice how easy it is to worry about going hungry long before you're anywhere near out of food? That happened to anybody? Some of us, yeah. We're all vulnerable to different things. There's no shame in admitting that we're just human. It could be anything. It could even be fear of not being able to meet the needs of others according to what you think the Lord might want you to do. That could be an opportunity to not try to do everything because you think the Lord wants you to do it all. Or it could just be an opportunity to ask Him to make use of you and to say you're available to Him in whatever way He reveals, and then just to wait and see what he says. I'm oftentimes reminded that talking to the Lord isn't the same as listening to Him. And I'm reminded sometimes by human means that sometimes if I stop talking, I might hear what someone else is saying. And I find that's true when I stop talking. A lot of times I can hear other people better. We need to learn to laugh at ourselves and then really take comfort in Yeshua and in the love that He has placed in us for each other. We can comfort each other as long as we understand the true source of our confidence and our comfort is in Yeshua. And we can share that with each other in many different ways. And we probably all looked at this passage. Oh, it's late. I have no idea when I started talking. Does anyone know? I'm just curious.
1:15. Alana said about 1:15.
I think one more like 1:30.
Oh.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but for me, that doesn't mean anything. So, okay. So this passage is probably one that perhaps everyone's looked at from 1 Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-control. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, His prisoner. Instead, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but by Him but by his own purpose and by the grace he granted us in Messiah Yeshua before time began. So just going back to when Moses set up the Mishkan, he put the testimony into the ark. And what is it we conquer by? Is it the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony?
The word of his testimony.
Yeah.
A testimony, I'd say.
You have a testimony, Olga?
Yes, I do.
I know. Who doesn't know that Olga has a testimony? I'm giving a little shout out to Olga. I think almost all of us probably could take your example, Olga.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help sharing your testimony, can you?
Yes, by his grace.
Lord grant us all that problem. That blessing.
That strength.
That strength. Lord grant us all that strength. So Moses put the testimony into the ark. Now, if he hadn't put the testimony into the ark, what would the ark have been? It wouldn't have been the same, would it?
Very heavy.
What?
Heavy.
Heavy? No, I mean, it wouldn't have been the same without it in there, right?
Right.
And if he hadn't put it in there, then it wouldn't say in Exodus that he did everything as the Lord commanded, because that was one of the things, and everything that the Lord had commanded got done, including putting the ark, the testimony into the ark. And so the Lord's building us all into a temple, and he's still fitting us, right? He's still taking a little bit off here and a little bit there to make us fit. That's, you can tell when that's happening, it's oftentimes a little uncomfortable or challenging. But then things start to fit better. And it's okay, by the way, if it takes a long time to fit perfectly. The Lord isn't pressed for time. And he's just there with mercy and grace and help for us. And he help us fit in the way that we're supposed to. He's constructing his temple out of living stones all over the place. The most important thing really is that each living stone puts testimony in the ark, right? You take the testimony and you put it in here, right? There are explanations of that whole ark as with the cherubim and everything, that illustrated as a picture of a human being that's indwelt by the Lord. Whether you can completely work that out logically or not isn't even the point. But the main thing is that we have a testimony of the truth and of God's love. You put it in the ark. The Lord comes and dwells with us. And then we're able to do what he asks us of us because he empowers us. And just like Israel in the wilderness, they went out where there was basically nothing. And one of my favorite verses is where Paul says, and I don't remember if it's 1 Corinthians, right offhand, what do you have that you did not receive? And you can ask it according to the scriptures in the other way, too. What do you lack that God will not give you? Can someone give me an answer to that? Zero point zero. Zero to the power of zero. That's still nothing, right? I'm not a mathematician. So Israel gets out there, and of course, you know, they grumbled, they squabbled, they complained about stuff. But God had already given them everything they needed to build the tent of meeting, every last thing. And it was quite a lot that went into it. And they built it out there and they set it up, and God came and dwelt with them. Doesn't really matter where we are or whether it looks like, well, what are we going to eat? The Lord could just make it come down out of heaven. He can turn stones into bread. He can make it possible to go a long, long time without eating at all. There are some examples of that in the scriptures. Moses is one. Was Elijah the other one? Was it Elijah? And he went in the strength of that food for 40 days. Is that what it says in the one place? That's quite a while to go on just having had lunch. But in the Lord, that's possible. He can sustain people with apparently no sustenance at all. And he can provide great sustenance in a place where there seems to be nothing. And so really the challenge isn't what will we wear or what will we eat or how will we shelter ourselves. It's who do we believe in and shall we believe in him? What do we trust in? And shall we trust in the one we can trust in? And if there are things that can be shaken, are those, any of those things, the things we're leaning on? Because if they are, we can stop leaning on them and decide to lean on the Lord till everything about us, all of our thoughts, all of our plans, all of our fears, all of our weaknesses, whatever they are, and our strengths, because trusting in them can be a weakness. If we just get them all oriented so they're all leaning on the Lord, then when something shakes and see, we won't fall, our works won't fall, our minds and our hearts won't plummet. We will not be surprised because we were trusting in him all along. And then we will have plenty to share with those that are in need, those that are in darkness, and those that are afraid. Fearful people are quite impacted by people who aren't fearful and who don't panic. They begin to wonder what those people have. And you don't have to be superhuman to be that person that can tell them the truth. So I want to just encourage you all to strengthen yourself in the Lord. I think I'm just going to close with this from 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Yeshua's sake, so that the life of Yeshua also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Yeshua will raise us also with Yeshua and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. There may be a virus that's spreading, but I want to tell you that there's more grace than virus. And this is a time when this grace can be spreading to more and more people. And what our focus should be on is the Lord and just any way he supplies to us to reveal his grace and spread it to more and more people, that it would cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. This really is why we're created, to know God and enjoy him forever. And the reason we are here right now for the time that we remain is to tell the truth of the hope that we have in Yeshua, and to see many come into the kingdom, knowing that he is with us to the end of the age, which includes to the end of this viral challenge. Build yourselves up in the Lord. Some of us have more time right now to focus on that than normal. Some of us may have the same amount of time, but find ourselves maybe focused in a different way. It's very, very, very different for all of us, but different in different ways. I really feel for everybody. I feel for Rowan and Sylvie and Raph and so many others that are finishing college without exactly being in college or being able to go to college in the sense that we would have normally thought. I can't even imagine finishing my master's degree under circumstances like this. There are parts of it I couldn't have done. It's quite a challenge. It's really kind of a shakeup. We're all going through different things. We maybe some of you may need to share more of what you're going through with some of your friends than you have. I don't know. Maybe you've all poured it all out. But I want to encourage you. Let's be there for each other. If you need something, don't be afraid to make the need known. And if you just need to share the abundant grace and hope that the Lord's giving you, that's a need too. So just dump it on all of us. Don't be bashful. You know, I'm looking at all these faces in these little squares, and I'm just, and Dean is a crocus today. He can unmute himself and laugh if he likes. I can't see the expression on the crocus.
I already laughed. I didn't unmute.
He already laughed, but see, I know him so well. And I know that look you're giving me. Don't give me that look, Dean. It always unnerves me. It's like, I can't tell what you're thinking. That's what it is that gets to me. I mean, what a bouquet of flowers on my screen here. Even the ones that I can't see, you're still part of the bouquet. And there, Olga's waving a tomato that disappears and reappears. It truly is a sign. Lord, grant us the wisdom to figure out what it means. Or at least tell us why it's happening. At any rate, the Lord will help you all keep your heads if you need your head to be kept. And that may vary for all of us in different moments. I really, really feel for everyone in New York City and other cities all over the world. Pray for the people in Israel, and I find myself thinking that Iran may have a big opening for the gospel as a result of what's happening there. It's just no telling what all could open up because of this. None of us would have asked for it, but now that it's come, let's just really ask the Lord to do his will everywhere and pray for rulers and leaders and people everywhere, that the Lord would make himself known and that his people would be listening and grab hold of the opportunities that he's giving us, so we wouldn't miss them. And be strong, and may you be strengthened. Father, we thank you. I don't want to blast anyone's ears out. You been able to hear me all right? Better than a normal Shabbat?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Oh, see, some things are getting better. Everything's getting better. It has to be. Right. Rona wanted to say something.
Jackie just texted me a few minutes ago. She had to leave. She said she loves us all and that we're very special.
We are very special.
Yeah, that's what Jackie said. Okay.
All right. The Lord bless you and keep you. What happened? Oh. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha ve'echunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha. Yasem lecha shalom.